As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, the 15th verse. Hear now the word of God for the people of God, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, admonishes the church to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. It's been a long time since I was graduated from Sumter Academy in West Alabama. There is a lot that I have forgotten over these many years, but one thing that I will never forget is that deep elation that came over me when I walked across the stage of my high school auditorium, diploma in hand, recognizing that I was about to enter into a new season of life, one that would enable me to have far more say-so over my schedule and my activities than I had ever known. No longer would I find myself having to answer for every decision, to check in with my parents every night. I see some of you high school seniors silently slobbering over the prospects of something similar to that deep feeling of elation that I remember to this day. What I did not understand, seniors, is that yes, I was entering into a new season of life, but in so very many respects, I was just changing one set of authority figures for another set, and the set that I was exchanging my parents for were figures that didn't always have my best interest at heart. I don't say that to convey to these seniors that somehow they shouldn't fly out of the nest and assume some responsibility for their actions. That's part of growing up, is it not? To be able to assume some responsibility to face the consequences of the decisions that you make. That's what it means to mature. But what I do intend to impress upon them and upon everyone else as well is it is important, so vitally important, to make sure that the people that we take our cues from, the people that we listen to, the people that we allow to exert influence upon our lives, are people who really do care about us, people who want to see the best for us, people who want us to grow and to develop into the people that God in Christ is redeeming us to be. It is a fact of life that every human being takes his cues from someone else. We learn from other people. We mimic the behavior of other people. There are folk that we invite into our lives who drive us in particular direction, who turn our attention to certain things. We all simply have to make sure that the people that we heed, the people that we pay attention to, the people, dare I say it, that we allow to rule over us, are people we can really trust, people who love and care about us, and for followers of Christ. The person who should be at the top of that list is none other than the risen Jesus himself. Now that essentially is what the Apostle Paul is conveying to the church at Colossae in his letter, his instruction to a church that had moved themselves into what we might call a new season of life. They had come to experience how through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's grace poured out upon them, they were able to exchange an old way of life for a new way of life that was less burdensome and more exhilarating, a way of life that enabled them to claim their holy and chosen and beloved calling. And as Paul is writing to this church, inviting them to consider how the presence of Jesus might work through them in ways that would change the world for the better, make it more the world that God created it to be, Paul offers them this most important word of instruction. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, just as you have been called to peace as one body. Let the peace of Christ rule in you. Now, at first blush, we hear Paul's teaching and we think to ourselves, the two important words in that instruction, peace and rule, they seem to be in contradiction to one another. You don't have to be an adolescent to struggle with how those two words can occur harmoniously in the same sentence. All of us have come to be taught, led to believe by the culture in which we live, that the only way for you ever to experience any peace in life is to be set free from all outside agencies and burdens and expectations. How can you experience any manner of peace if anyone outside of yourself is ruling over you? But what we felt to understand and appreciate is the deep, profound meanings behind these two words, peace and rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word peace does not mean merely an absence of conflict, as if when you allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart, you don't ever have any problems anymore. There's nothing in the Bible that promises us an easy path in life. Look at Paul's life. The Apostle Paul had to endure many hardships. He's not talking about how once we trust in Jesus, all of our problems disappear. That's not what he's saying at all. Instead, what Paul is saying is that when we allow the presence of the risen Jesus to rule in us, there is this sense of well-being that overwhelms us. This confidence that everything's going to be okay. Even when we find ourselves in circumstances and situations where we wonder, how is this going to work out? When you trust in Jesus, Paul is saying, even in the face of the greatest challenges of life, you can know that God has His hand on you, that Jesus is with you, that it will be well with your soul. That is probably the greatest hymn of peace that we sing in the church, "It is well with my soul." And this notion of the peace of Christ ruling our hearts, it's not intended to convey some burdensome outside agency, some presence from beyond that is attempting to keep you down and to hold you back. That's not what Paul is saying at all. It's more along the lines of how we might consider an umpire or a referee on the playground or on the playing field, someone who governs a game in order that the game might be played as it was constructed to be played so that all of the participants might know what's within the rules and what's outside the rules. I love that image. An umpire, a referee who governs life. Now, I can remember many years ago, I was listening to a sports talk show, and they were interviewing a very successful Division I basketball coach. If I were to call his name, 90% of you would recognize it, and that's all I'm going to say. And I was locked in. And the coach, whose name I will not mention, when they began to talk about officiating, and he was known for his sideline annex, that coach says, "As far as I am concerned, I'd like for the referee to toss the ball in the air to begin the game and then go sit in the stands and watch what happens." And I thought to myself, at the time I was still playing a lot of basketball, a lot of church league basketball, and that's some of the most intense basketball I've ever played. And I can tell you, some of the pickup games I played, particularly in seminary days, when there was no one governing the action, no one overseeing, no one making sure that the game was being played as the game was intended to be played in all of its beauty. It was like the book of Judges. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes. And I can't tell you how many times, even in seminary, those type A preachers had to be separated because of how things got out of hand simply because there was no referee overseeing the game. Now, I don't intend to play or to pick on basketball. I don't play basketball anymore. Those days are long gone, but you could pick any game. Baseball, it does. You can remember from your own experience when there was no one there to call balls and strikes in or out, when everyone has to decide for himself, that's when tempers can flare and animosity, rage. Now do you understand what Paul is saying? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Just as one body you were called to peace, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What Paul is saying to the church, when we allow the presence of the risen Jesus and the peace that he brings to rule our interactions with one another, we don't have to justify ourselves to other people. We don't have to prove ourselves even to ourselves. Instead, we blend our gifts and our talents and our abilities and our callings with one another to be able to present a winsome witness to the world that compels people to consider the difference that living for the risen Jesus actually makes. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a conflicted church have any kind of positive impact for the cause of Christ. Now, most of you won't know this because Mountain Brook Baptist Church has not been a conflicted church. But I'm here to tell you that if you ever have been in a conflicted church where when you walk in, you can cut the tension with a knife. It's so thick. They're not going to accomplish anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. No one wants to be a part of a group of people who are constantly at odds with one another, especially young people. You wonder why young people are dropping out of the church in droves. It's because of how all they hear is the manner in which the church is rigid and judgmental and against this and against this and against this instead of what the church is for. And how in Jesus Christ we're called to blend our gifts and abilities in ways that make a positive impact for the kingdom of heaven, so that just as we pray every Sunday, God's kingdom may come and His will might be done. That's good. That's life-giving on earth as it always is in heaven. Conversely, I can promise you that when you find a church that is growing, that is doing good, that is accomplishing much for the kingdom, a church where you really struggle to find a parking place in the parking lot because people are being drawn there in droves, I can promise you, it's not because of the preaching and it's not because of the music. It's because of the fellowship, the sweet spirit that exists in that place. It's because when people come into a community of faith like that, they can tell these people care for one another. And I need people that I can care for and people who will care for me. People who have my best interest at heart. Where things tend to jump the tracks as far as most churches are concerned is where folk mistake busyness for relationship and activity for mutual concern, and they never give sufficient attention to allowing the presence of the risen Jesus to guide everything that they are about. I love the story of the new pastor who had come into town and had just assumed his call at the local church and ran into a member of that congregation somewhere in the community. And when that member went home, he said to his wife, he said, "Well, I met the new preacher today." She said, "Well, how did that go?" He said, "Well, it was kind of interesting." She said, "How so?" He said, "Well, he asked about the family, and he asked where we lived. And then he asked me, he said, "Well, does Jesus live there?" She said, "That is a strange question." He said, I know. I didn't know how to answer it. Does Jesus live there? Where you live, does Jesus live in that place?" She said, "Well, what'd you tell him?" He said, "Well, I didn't know what to say." She said, "You didn't tell him that we were respectable people? You didn't tell him that we go to church when we're in town on the weekends? You didn't tell him that we read the Bible when we get a chance?" Busyness for relationship, activity for mutual concern. Husband said, "Nope. That's not what he asked. What he asked was, does Jesus live here? Does Jesus live here?" I look at these high school seniors and I am so excited about what God's future holds for every single one of you. And I know you've got so much to look forward to. And there's a lot that sort of is in the back of your mind. How are How are the next days going to go for you? One of the things, this may not be a problem for any of you, but for a lot of high school seniors, the big thing is the roommate thing. Your roommate. Now, some of you know who you're going to room with because you've gone to high school with them, but that still doesn't matter because you're going to live with those people and it's going to be different. And others of you have no idea. Well, you may have a name and you may have carried on, you know, a FaceTime conversation or some other social media contact, but you really don't know that much about them. And so in the back of your mind, you're going to be living with these people? Am I going to be able to get along with them? I can tell you that you have a better chance of getting along with your roommate if in your dorm or your apartment or wherever you will be living, you make room for Jesus to live there with you. I look at all the families who are here this morning, young and old, and single and married, children. Boy, I struck a nerve last week. You know, I was just preaching and mentioned something about dysfunctional families and, you know, how you just have to learn how to make the dysfunction function. And I can't tell you how many people grabbed me and said, "You spoke to me this morning." For those of you who wished that you could have heard what I said, or wished that you could have spoken to me more about what I said, how do you make dysfunction function? You make sure that one person in the family makes room for Jesus. And when the peace of Jesus rules in just one member of the family, that home becomes a different place. That family becomes a better family. It just takes one in the family who will allow the peace of Jesus to rule in your hearts. Now look at this church. Do you realize next year we'll be 75 years of age? That's a wonderful accomplishment. And you talk about a congregation that has had a great impact on the kingdom of God over the course of the last 75 years. It's Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And the fellowship that has permeated this congregation from the very beginning. It's healthy, it's wonderful, it's contagious. But as we think about the future, there's still much that God has for us to accomplish together. Still so much more that God wants to do in this place, through this people. And the one thing that will enable us to experience together the wonderful future that God has for us to share is to do what Paul calls every church to do, to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. One of the great theologians of the last 25 years went to be with the Lord a year or two ago, Dallas Willard. I mean, if you are serious about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you a book and you must read it if you are serious. Seniors, you know, I don't know what we gave you, but we should have given you The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. The Divine Conspiracy. God's up to something in this world. And Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. And Willard unpacks it so beautifully. And in a way to which all of us can relate. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to grasp what he's suggesting. The Divine Conspiracy. And in that book, I remember Willard writing that one of the major transitions in life, that's what we're talking about today. One of the major transitions in life is when you know who owns you. Who is your master? Who is teaching you? And to be at a place in your life journey where you are able to evaluate the results of their teaching. Well, how's this been working for me? And Willard says, now that is a, he uses these words, a harrowing. I mean, it is a scary experience. Not everyone can do it. But when you muster up the courage to ask yourself the question, who owns me? Who is ruling me? Who is my master? Who is teaching me? And how is it going? Willard reminds us that it opens the door for us to consider other masters and better masters and the greatest Master of them all, the Lord Jesus Himself. So on this Senior Recognition Sunday, not just to the seniors, but to everyone, let's think about the rule that Jesus exerts upon us and the difference that it makes. And let's allow His peace, the sense of well-being that His presence brings, let's allow His peace to rule in our hearts. Since His one body, we were called to that sense of peace. And I can promise you that as time goes by, you will never forget the elation that living for Jesus brings. You will always be grateful that you made the decision to trust Jesus. Allowing Him to rule in your hearts will stay with you and will give you unspeakable joy because you know it's the best thing you could ever have done.